Glenn, have you talked to anybody yet about how they're going to be dealing with the Names Council meeting on the 26th in terms of what kind of facilities are they going to give you, or is it going to be just an MP3 taping, or what?
I haven't yet talked to them, Ken. It would perhaps be a good idea if we could discuss that.
Yeah, after what happened in Accra, I would like to make certain that regardless of what facilities are provided to us, that we ensure that we have the capacity to provide some sort of archive of this meeting. I think it would be very important, and I'm sorry, but I don't have a hell of a lot of confidence in the local host because the website hasn't been up now for almost a month. So I just don't know.
Sure.
Fine, I'll get on to the local organizers about that.
Might also just take a roll call later to see who is planning on attending as well. We could.
Yes.
Do that and then have a follow-up email, perhaps.
Also, I noticed that there's now a special presentation on who is scheduled for Thursday and during the public forum, and I do not know whether that is a who is presentation from the committee that Marilyn has been so diligently shepherding along with Antonio, or whether or not this may have some sort of relevance to some of the issues that have been brought up recently by staff.
Isn't this Logan joining?
Ken, I think it is going to be a combination of those. I talked to Stuart very briefly, like for 3 minutes, about our having a further conversation about what should be done, and he was going to come back to me. I told him I wanted to bring it up with the task force. He was going to come back to me yesterday or today to have a further conversation. So I was a little surprised to see it listed there since I hadn't heard back from him. But I think that may be a bit of a placeholder for right now, because I had told him that we would want to present the report, and I wanted to have some brief time on the GA. I mentioned that to Tony, but we hadn't had a chance to bring it up with the task force. So I hope I'll know more and can post to the task force shortly.
Can I ask one other question? Is the judiciary hearing this week?
Yes, Thursday morning at 9:30.
If that's being broadcast on C-SPAN, if you have a link or something, Marilyn, would you let me know, please?
I will.
Thank you.
This is a markup, isn't it? I mean, it's not a, or is it a hearing?
It's a hearing on data accuracy.
Okay, yeah, I thought it was, I thought they were already going to mark up, but...
Matt, I see there's been some quite activity on the Who Is Task Force list. Is everything going according to plan in terms of your own timetable for the presentation?
We're giving up sleep, just as we did before CRA, but we hope so.
Yeah. Good.
I know you're just going to get ready to start. Will we need a visa again, or most of us will need a visa again for when
I think not. I was certainly EU citizens, and I think also all US citizens don't need visas.
Yeah, I think US citizens, there's a cooperative agreement. If you go to the... it's kind of confusing, but if you go to their site, they lead you through to you go to this list of countries.
Okay.
This is Gary. I just took a look at that page. EU and the U.S. are indeed visa exempt.
Well,
apparently they have something against Kiwis.
You have
to go. Australian, I believe.
It may be because you have to sign a cooperative agreement where they will be visa-free. And... in Australia, they require U.S. citizens.
That could be it. It's probably also to do with the fact that Australians, it's not the number one tourist destination either.
Well, I heard it was because of the great sheep wars between New Zealand, Australia, and Romania, but maybe I'm wrong there, you know.
But definitely, EU passport holders don't require visas, that we're saying for it?
That's correct, yeah.
Oh, sorry.
I just actually noticed that we're all referred to as aliens who travel in Romania. I guess
we know where they learned that from, Marilyn. It's a very American word.
It is. It's, you know.
Hello?
Elizabeth, hello, welcome.
Hello, everybody.
I think you possibly just made a score, which is very encouraging. I'm just trying to work out who I'm missing on one list and not the other.
Yeah, Philip Gravency is not going to be able to make the call. I received a notice this morning from him along with a proxy for Philip. I thought I heard Bruce Tonkin, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, Bruce is on the call indeed.
Okay. How about Richard Tindall? Is Richard and who's representing the GTLDs besides Kerry? Anyone else?
Nobody yet.
Okay.
The answer there, and in fact, nobody from the ISPs. Is that right, or do we have Greg?
Yeah. Tony Holmes is at Study Group 2, probably right at this moment, defending all of us against encroachment. But I thought Antonio Harris was going to be on.
All right, he may be coming on that. Second, so my party show is myself, Marilyn Grant, Jay Scott, Laurence, and Ellen. We're missing Tune and Eric. We have Harold, Ken, and Bruce. Philip Garbanzi has given his proxy. Peter DeBlanc's given his proxy. We have Elizabeth. We have Carrie. And I think anybody I missed just in that list? Yep, that gives us 11, which means we can make a start. I propose adding two items to the agenda. One will be a small message for Peter DeBlanc, and second will be to do with Bucharest and who may be attending there. Are there any other requests for agenda additions?
There's not really an agenda addition, but I do need to address recommendations 9, 10, 11, 12, and 13 on behalf of the IP constituency.
You wish to go over old ground?
No, I just want to footnote placed in that particular section of the.
Okay, then we'll take your footnote, which I hope will be brief, before we start on item 2. Let's make a start. And Ken, just while we were chatting before the meeting began, propose that we should perhaps pass a resolution of get well soon to Peter DeBlanc, which seems like a splendid idea, and I'm very happy to do that on behalf of the council.
Please do.
Yeah, of course.
Okay. Second item, Bucharest is coming upon us. It may just be helpful for our own planning purposes to see who who knows at the moment if they will definitely be going or not. So perhaps as I just call down the list, you could indicate that. We'll be sending out an email later also to scoop up people who are not here.
Philip, are you using a speakerphone or are you speaking?
No, my normal phone. Is it difficult? Not as good as usual.
It seems to be dropping in and out. That's all.
Okay, then I'll... If it gets bad again, tell me, and I'll try changing to another phone. So Bucharest, apparently taking a roll call of who plans to be there, or definitely know they're not going to be there, or is still uncertain. Let me start with Marilyn. Marilyn, are you with us? I'll come back. Grant?
Not certain, but planning to, yes.
Okay, so probable yes. J. Scott?
Yes.
Laurence?
No, unfortunately.
No,
no, I won't be there.
Ellen?
Planning to, yes.
Yes. Harold?
It's
unclear at this point, in fact, for any of us in the non-commercial constituency, because most of us rely on Salzburg funding to get there, and Mark and Ford, which are underwriting Salzburg in this, are reevaluating the entire program, so we don't know if there's going to be funds available for traveling.
Okay. Ken?
Yes.
Bruce?
There
always.
Oh.
Yes.
Bruce, I say yes. Do you know about Philip, Ken or Bruce?
Pardon me? I think Philip is coming, yes. He indicated he was planning on being there.
Fine, okay. Elizabeth?
Yes.
Oscar not with us yet. ISP is still, I think, not with us. Just checking the list, yeah.
Yes,
Tony Harris, I just knew you're on. Yes, welcome, Tony. Are you planning on coming to Bucharest?
Yes.
Splendid. And Carrie?
I am planning to be there.
Excellent.
And Philip, I'm back on.
Marilyn, and you're planning on being in Bucharest, I take it?
I am.
Excellent. Okay, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 probables. So that's encouraging. We would actually be quorate if we met there. Let's move on to item, old item one of the agenda, which is summary of some last meetings. We haven't taken a vote on past minutes for the last couple of meetings. We have a set of three there. Do I have a proposer to move the adoption of those minutes?
So moved. Ken Stubbs.
Ken, thank you for so moving. A seconder?
Yeah. Second, Carrie.
Carrie, thank you very much. All those in favour, please say aye.
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 Those against, please say no. Those wishing to abstain, please say abstain. Thank you very much. That's carried unanimously. That brings us on to item two, and discussion of our current list of recommendations.
Greg
Rufus, join. Greg, you're welcome. We're just kicking into item... item two on okay. The agenda. But while you've just done this, Greg, perhaps we took a roll call earlier who was probably going to go to Bucharest. Are you planning on going to Bucharest?
Yes.
Excellent, thank you. So, before we start discussing the wording recommendations 18 onwards, Jay Scott wanted to make a IPC footnote for something earlier. Jay Scott.
The IPC requests that there be a footnote placed after the wording, the heading, Policy of Development Bodies, and state that its position is that these bodies are envisioned by the IPC to be issue identification bodies, and then just direct them to see our paper.
So you prefer the title Issue Identification?
We don't.
And we can grab the paper.
As we stated in our paper, for those of you who've had the opportunity to read it, do not hold it against anyone that has not. Basically, our proposal was that the bodies within the ICANN structure would only identify issues that would then be identified to the board, and the board would then either put together a committee, an ad hoc committee to deal with the identified issue, or it would export that issue to another group, such as WIPO, or something if they felt like the process was such that it deserved that type of in-depth analysis and, you know, worldwide public forums and those kinds of things. And so they've asked that I request that, you know, we just put a footnote that we disagree on the function of these bodies and that just point them to our paper.
Okay, that's noted. I can add a footnote to that in our next iteration. That leads us on then to recommendation 18.
I think it's Bruce talking. It sounds like someone else wants to be in the queue as well.
Okay, who else was that? Bruce, who else?
Elizabeth.
And Elizabeth.
Philip, can I just also announce that I'm here, Roger Cochetti.
Roger, welcome. Roger, while you're with us, are you planning on being in Bucharest also?
Yes, I am.
Excellent, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Bruce, please go ahead.
I just had a comment on Recommendation 16, Independent Review.
Mm-hmm.
Just reading the paper that, the working paper from the ICANN Structure and Nominating Committee concept just based on the 9th of May, there was a bit of discussion in there on the Independent Review panel. and the wording they put there is that they refer to the current independent review policy, which talks about that it's comparing the actions of the board to the bylaws and articles of incorporation and regarding the presence of consensus, and that the independent review process wouldn't be trying to override a decision on its merits, getting into the detail. I just wondered whether we should add a sentence to perhaps support that concept, that we really were talking about an independent review of the board's actions against its bylaws and articles of incorporation. Mm-hmm. We're not sort of another group reviewing the same matter over.
Sure, yeah. I mean, that's probably right, but what you're referring to is the second working paper, aren't you, for those
recommendations? That's right, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. We've got that over the agenda, so we'll address it there, because often these things aren't quite as simple as we would like them to be when we come to wording.
Excuse me, Philip, just a question. Are we on recommendation 18 now?
We're trying to get there, yes.
Oh, okay.
We're just on discussion before.
When we do, I have a comment.
Perfect. Elizabeth.
Philip, you recall certainly that I sent a small message, to council list requesting for some wording correction in version 7, and actually I've been asking to add in recommendation 3, which currently ends by what I can best stop, a comma subject to the distinct roles of Jana and ICANN being maintained. This is important issue for CCTLD.
Can you tell us again where you are?
I am in recommendation number 3, functions, which is very short. ICANN functions should not be extended at this time beyond what is outlined in the note what ICANN does.
Yeah.
And what I suggest to, what CCTLD suggests to add is, comma, subject to the distinct roles of Jana and ICANN being maintained. It is to prevent some mission creeps.
I'm sorry, I did not hear the language. Subject to what?
It was subject to the distinct roles of ICANN and IANA being maintained. I don't have a problem with that wording. Does anybody, is that an issue for anybody else?
This is Harold Feld. I'm only curious to what extent those functions in fact remain genuinely distinct, but to the extent that there are distinctions that continue to exist, I certainly would agree with trying to cabin in the responsibilities of both of them.
Yeah, I mean, we referred to those different functions earlier on the scope and mission. It doesn't seem to be too much. I take it everybody's happy with that then.
Philip, it's Marilyn.
Marilyn, yes. I mean, if this is going to be a big issue, I'd rather just make it a footnote on behalf of the CCs.
I don't think this is a big issue. I just want to clarify something.
Go ahead.
From the BC perspective, Elizabeth, I think we could support that as long as the IANA function remains linked to ICANN and is not, there's not an effort to spin it off.
And it's not, I did not understood.
I said I think
I have a comment later from Tony Harris.
I think that the BC could support this as long as there's no intent or effort to spin off IANA away from the ICANN linkage.
I understand what you say. As of today, IANA function is subject to a separate memorandum of understanding or contract between the U.S. government and ICANN.
Right.
Yeah, I think that wording doesn't seem to imply anything more than what it says to me. It's talking about distinct roles of ICANN and IANA. It's what they do, I think, is implicit there. Tony Harris.
Yes, my concern on this is very simple. I'm just wondering if this involves delegation or redelegation of country annex, because if it does, excuse me, If it does, I think this is currently in a state of negotiation between the CCPOVs and ICANN, and I'm just wondering, you know, where this would stand, redelegation of country codes, for example.
Yes, thank you, Philip. As far as I know, and as far as we have been carefully reading all documents, delegation and redelegation are not within ICANN authority as of today.
Okay, so we wouldn't be changing that.
This issue was never settled, and it is our reading and understanding that it is still something. It is something which was never really decided yet, and it is a political issue between governments. Involving also governments, I'm sorry.
Okay, but Elizabeth, the important point is that your wording doesn't imply any change one way or the other.
Absolutely.
In this context.
Absolutely, my wording does not imply any change.
Yeah. Okay, is everybody happy with that? Yeah, I'll take that as read. We move on to recommendation 18. And in that I had some draft wording. There had been some email input from Thomas, I think, in particular. And I've got a few of his, a few changes I'll suggest on his behalf for some changes in that draft wording on version 9 as we get to them. The only change, I think, here was just a clarification in wording that we could add the wording at a minimum the following constituencies rather than just the following and a colon. Roger, you want to speak on this, and who else would like to?
Are we on 18 now?
We're on 18 now.
I would like to speak on this.
Okay, so we have Roger, we have Harold.
Marilyn.
And Marilyn, anybody else yet? Okay, Roger, start off.
Philip, the GTLD registry constituency is on record, and I'll simply repeat the position the constituency has taken from the beginning of these discussions as saying that the advisory body, the subsidiary body, whether you call it a council or advisory committee or whatever, dealing with GTLD should be made up of operators, registries and registrars. It has been the constituency's position that non-operating groups should form a advisory group of their own, feeding their comments into the board, but should not be commingled with operating organizations any more than has been proposed for the CCTLDs. So that, consistent with the symmetry that I've discussed in previous meetings between the approach to GTLDs and CCTLDs, we would not support recommendation 18 as currently worded, and I'll be happy to recommend change language for it, but I wanted at this point simply to restate the position that the constituency's taken from the beginning.
Sure. When you talk about the supplier interests in terms that we currently understand of constituencies, you're referring to basically the GTLD registries and the registrars. Is that the group?
I think that's correct. I think, you know, there is some discussion, I think, that could take place as to whether or not ISPs would fit into that category. I think it's a matter of discussion, but clearly what the constituency envisions is a council that is made up of operators, which sits alongside a parallel body that is made up of end users or interested parties.
Right, so you see where we've been talking about a GTLD policy development body, you basically see two policy development bodies, one for those of suppliers and a second one for user interests. Is that correct?
I would say the constituency would probably describe it a little bit differently and say that there's a supplier council for CCTLDs and a supplier council for GTLDs, and then there would either be one or two user councils for CCTLDs And then a separate one for GKLDs, or a single one for that addresses both.
Okay. Other constituencies, is there support for that type of arrangement?
This, of course, is the concept that the At-Large Study Commission put forward some time ago in their concept paper.
Yeah.
So if I think I'm in queue, do you want me to speak to this issue now or to wait for the queue?
Just wait for the queue. Perhaps we can come back to that. I just wanted to know, interesting to know if there were other constituencies who had that view. Registrars, what, do you have a view on this yet, or do you have a different view?
Well, I think, this is Bruce Thompson speaking, the registrar's constituency doesn't, in their current position paper, isn't specific. It just says that we would have a steering committee that would be come from election from the constituencies. So we haven't actually defined in our document what those constituencies would be.
So at the moment you could go either way, the structure,
yeah, I think that's correct, yeah.
The recommendation 18 style or the one that Roger just described, and we haven't...
Yes, but I think my comment on what Roger has said is I was going to make a similar comment about the CCTLD policy body from... We've completely left that separate, and I'm not quite sure why. To my mind, they're similar. I mean, I work for a registrar, Melbourne IT, which registers in CCTLDs and GTLDs, and we would... like to have just as much representation in issues of CCTLDs as we do in GTLDs, and I think that would be a general view of registrars.
Okay. Maybe what would be helpful, Bruce, if you wanted to think of some wording to email us we could look at for next time to factor in whatever we agree to on this call in a similar style for CCTLD body, if that seems to make sense.
But I think as Roger said, we should be consistent.
Yeah.
Elizabeth.
On the same point, yes?
On the same point, and I will, of course, repeat the CCTLD position. While GTLD is within ICANN authority and policy development is within ICANN authority and development of extraterritorial rules and everything related to GTLD, such is not the case for CCTLD. Each CCTLD is operating in its own country, and there is no way that any external body may have binding impact on national policy development. So I just want to stress out that it is something very important for CCTLD, and it is the main difference between GTLD and CCTLD. CCTLD operate within countries and not with extraterritorial rules.
Okay. So you see whatever model we go for of the GTLD policy development body, you still see some similarities but other differences in the way that a CCTLD policy development body would be.
Absolutely. It may happen that in some situation it is convergent and it is similar. I perfectly understand that registrar would like to have the same kind of relationship with GTLD and CCTLD, but the reality fact is that CCTLD are different and operating according to the rule they develop inside countries.
Can Stubb Phillips.
Okay, you want to speak on this point, which is basically an extension of Roger's original point?
Yeah, I would like to remind everyone again that although Elizabeth's perspective may very well work most effectively with NICs such as the French NIC or the Spanish NIC, which have a very relatively narrow scope of operation, there are many, quotes, generic CCTLDs that in fact take on the characteristics of GTLD, and I will use as examples .cc or .nu, and the impact there is much more global, and I cannot more strongly disagree with the statement that Elizabeth made there, because they do not, quote, operate within their own countries. As a matter of fact, the overwhelming majority of names that are registered in those NICs are in fact administered and utilized by entities that operate outside of the territorial boundaries of the country which is assigned that extension. Thank you.
Right. And if one was going to have a policy trying to differentiate that, in fact, that may be a criteria for definition, yes, in terms of registrations inside and outside the country.
So this is Harold.
Elizabeth.
Harold, you're still in the queue for your original point, as is Marilyn. We would just try to keep this line of...
Would you go there, Kevin?
Yes, who is this?
This is Jay Scott. I just want to ask Roger if I understand the concept.
That's fine. I'm
happy. He's proposing.
Session going just on this point before we take some new ones. So you can do that. But also, Marilyn, did you want to speak to this point?
I would like for you to work the original cue, and then I can make my comments at that time.
Okay, well, let me just take Jay Scott to finish off this line, and then we'll go down the original cue.
I just want to make sure I understand. It seems, just conceptually, Roger, what your constituency basically, and as I'm processing the information you've given us today, is that you would see there not being a names council per se anymore, and that each body, which now is in the form of a constituency, would have its own body, and then it would make its recommendations on an issue to the board. So let's say registrars and registries could be lumped together, but let's say they're not. They stay, an issue comes down, and you would have a perspective from the operators, the GTLDs and the registrars, and a perspective from the ISPs, and whether they get lumped in or they stay separate, from the intellectual property community, if it felt like it was affected, would then make some recommendation or comment to the board, as with the non-coms and perhaps individuals and any other group that has identified itself. Or let's say you lump intellectual property users, the BC, and the non-commercial people all together in your user category. So basically, it's similar to the constituencies that we have today. You're just knocking out the names council level and having these have their own policy councils within their own of like-minded, supposedly, groups that then make their councils then make those recommendations up on issues to the board. Is that what you're suggesting?
I can respond, I'd say, I would not disagree with the way you described it. It may not be the same way everybody in the registry constituency would describe it, but I think you've captured the essence of it.
Okay.
And I would also say that it's not this is not the original theory of the registry constituency. This is the theory of the At-Large Study Commission,
okay,
which said that what you should do is break down the groups into producers and users and then let them advise the board, and to have this intermediate council complicates and wastes time and makes more difficult the kind of collaboration that's useful.
Sure. At-Large actually had three categories, didn't it, which caused some debate when they made that, because not all of us fully understood in particular category three. However, let's take the cue that we originally had, and that means Harold is next to speak.
All right. At this point, I have two points. One is I'd like to respond to what Ken was saying regarding CCTLDs, but I also have my original point that I wanted to make.
I think that's first. Let's have something fresh in this conversation.
All right. Well, my concern in Recommendation 18, and maybe this will be alleviated a bit, by how 18 and 21 are going to work together, is that 18 does not have a role for individual participation. Now, again, this might be, it's unclear to me from these recommendations how something will go from being a an idea to an actual policy under these recommendations, and who would participate where.
Right.
But
Howard, let me just give you, let's stop for 2 seconds. The point you're making was also one raised by Thomas by email. And what I was planning on doing when we got to recommendation 19, which is other stakeholders, is making a specific reference there to individual domain name holders. So you may find what you're looking for sits there. So what we're saying in 18 is defining a minimum, not a maximum.
But my problem with that is there need in order to be able to approve something here, I need to understand where the formal place for individual participation is. Now, my expectation is individual participation on any given issue will be fairly low based on the history and general way these things work, but there has to be some sort of formalized role in which individuals who either want to try to initiate a policy or think they're going to be affected by a policy have an opportunity to come in and have a real chance of affecting the outcome.
Okay. And you also wanted to comment on the CCs?
Can I just...
Yes, Bruce, you're in queue.
Elizabeth.
Elizabeth, I could also put you in queue, but let Howard continue for a moment.
I did want to respond to Ken's statement. I'm aware that many people regard the generic CCTLDs as being somehow different from other CCTLDs, and I don't think that touches on the key point. The key point is that CCTLDs are responsive to their local governments and their local internet communities. That does not mean that they are only used by those communities, but they are responsive to, and at least at some level, theoretically supervised by the local community and the sovereign entity rather than by ICANN. And if a sovereign entity decides that it serves its public interest policies to have an open registry, either because it brings much-needed revenue into the country or because they don't believe in having restrictions on registration, then that is a decision by the sovereign entity and the local internet community, presumably taken in consultation, and that should be respected. That is a different order, that is a different sort of beast than a generic TLD which is subject to ICANN.
Okay, that's the point made. I think probably on CCs, because the recommendations drafted at the moment don't include them, it may be useful to perhaps work towards the next meeting discussing those based on some wording that I'm happy to work with a few of the other constituencies we've heard speaking so far, so we don't get too drawn away from these recommendations. And Marilyn, you're next in the queue, in the original queue.
I'm going to speak on two points, and the first point I want to make actually relates to the CCs because I think it's fairly quick. We register as a company in a number of the CCs that Kim was referencing, and as far as I can tell, there really are very few who operate in that mode, .nu, .cc, etc., a very few. For the most part, the 240 CCTLDs operate as responsive to the local government and their local community. I would support the idea that we put some limited focus quickly into identifying areas where there's policy congruence between the CCTLD policymaking entity and the GTLD policymaking entity, similar to what the commercial constituencies have called for before, and the CCTLDs in talking about their SO have agreed would be possible. That might include internationalized names, other issues where there's shared concern, security of the route, things of that nature. So, Philip, I would be happy to work with you. I think it would be important to have both Oscar and Elizabeth as a part of identifying what those areas would be.
Okay.
The point I want to make, to go back to I do agree that the first version of the At-Large Study Commission paper did identify the three categories. However, in extensive discussions with them that the BC, ISP, and ISPCP had, they backed away from their that segregation of producer and noted that, in fact, they did expect that large users' interest, and we were speaking in this case, I don't want to step back against the non-commercials here. We were speaking in this case as the business users and noting that we could not support this kind of segregation. And they did back away from that idea.
we as the BC cannot support the idea of breaking the policy development down into vertical smokestacks, because that will elevate policymaking to the board. It's our view that we need to identify policy areas and develop consensus in a policymaking entity that includes a broad set of users and all other participants.
Okay. Bruce, you're next on the queue.
Thank you, Philip. Yeah, look, it's just on the GTLD, the CCLD issue, my view is the issues of the two groups can often be similar, but the outputs might be a bit different. Like in the GTLD body, the output's basically a policy that becomes contractually binding for all registrar- GTLD registries and GTLD registrars. The output of the CCTLD policy group might be guidelines, and they're not contractually bound on the individual countries. And so certainly topics like international domain names and other topics like that would be something worthy of discussion within a CCTLD policy body. It's just that you don't impose the outcome on everybody, because different countries have got different requirements. So I still stand by my point that I think registrars and other groups have a role to play in that CCTLD body. It's just that the outcome may not be contractually binding policies on everybody, but more guidelines. My comment on the recommendation 18 as it stands, and it's really the question I had, is I've never really been clear on the difference between non-commercial and individual. Is non-commercial really mean non-commercial organisation? Is that correct?
Harold, my understanding is the non-commercial constituency at the moment is for organisations only. Is that correct?
I'm sorry, what context?
Membership of your constituency.
Yes, we are
for
only organisations. That is correct.
Yeah.
This is Jay Scott Evans. I've never understood why a group that advocates so fiercely for the rights of the individuals has never opened up their membership to individuals. It seems that they have the key to cure the very problem that they are concerned with. And I was just wondering if maybe after we finish the queue, Harold could speak to that.
Well, I am certainly happy to go on at length about the internal politics of the non-commercial constituency if this is a subject of fascination to the rest of the Names Council.
Are you saying that it is that very question is an issue for the constituency? In other words, some people in the constituency now think there should be individuals, and some don't. Is that where life is?
Well, this was a debate that was had back when the constituency formed, it has not been reopened for some time, so we could certainly raise the question again as to whether individuals should be admitted, so that this provides an individual voice. There are people who support that approach. There are people who did not support that approach because they feel that individuals deserve a unique voice, and that there are already a dominance, if you'll forgive me, of more commercial-oriented interests, and therefore to dilute the non-commercial even further by having individuals in non-commercial as opposed to lobbying to create a separate individual was inappropriate. There are also members who feel that non-commercials have interests that are distinct and separate from those of individuals, and that having a separate voice for non-commercial interests as non-commercial interests, distinct from a voice for individuals as individuals, is an important aspect of representation.
Okay,
so this is Bruce Tompkins. Just to finish my comments then, given that definition, what I would suggest you put in explicitly in your wording, if recommendation 18 stays with similar wording, is that you actually specifically say non-commercial organisations.
Yeah.
Because non-commercial interests, to me, would include individuals.
Okay.
If you call it non-commercial organisations,
yeah.
I don't have a problem with individuals being involved, and I gather that's the point of your recommendation 19, saying that individuals could then actually get together and form a new constituency. Is that correct?
Correct. Okay, Elizabeth, I had you at the end of our first queue.
Thank you very much, Philip. It will be very short. I am coming back to Ken, to Marlene, and to Bruce speaking on CCTLD issue. Indeed, I understand Ken's position, but we need to consider the majority of CCTLD, the almost 100%, and not just one or two cases. And the majority of CCTLDs are CCTLD within sovereign countries and operating in sovereign countries. So it should be probably addressed, this CCTLD operating outside of local jurisdiction, but for CCTLD as a group, it is not the main point. I concur with what Marlene said that to work together and to prepare some kind of paper to add to the Nantes Council communique. Whether we like it or not, the ICANN process cannot develop some policy matters binding on CCTLD. It is completely different on some technical matters like the one related to international domain names. Of course, once we are going to have a standard, those CCTLD who wishes to adopt it, they will do it. But it will not be binding. They will do it as they consider appropriate within CCTLD.
Okay, thanks for that. Let me try a proposal then. What I suggest we could see if we can agree to is the following for recommendation 18, that I will add a footnote to make explicit the derogation from the GTLD registries. We will add the word constituencies after the current word, at a minimum the following. We will change the word non-commercial interests to non-commercial organizations. Are people happy if we make those changes to adopt recommendation 18?
I'm sorry, Philip, repeat the... I did not write quickly enough. Could you repeat the two changes?
Yes. In the second line, you've got at a minimum the following colon, and it will be at a minimum the following constituencies. And in the list of which constituencies we're talking about, we're changing non-commercial interests to non-commercial organizations, and there will be a footnote for the whole recommendation with the derogation that you wanted to make.
Philip, I have something.
Yep, go ahead.
Tony Harris here.
Yeah.
Internet service providers, could we make that internet service and connectivity providers? That's what our constituency is called.
Yes. What's the difference, Tony? Just for my own...
Well, a connectivity provider could be a carrier who doesn't... subscribers and the service provider is more in the context
backbone.
Of the internet service.
Okay,
backbone
fine.
Providers.
I think I'm happy to say it as a friendly amendment. I guess everybody else would be too. So are we going to be happy with that? Yes.
So this is Harold. Can I...
This is Jay Scott.
Harold and Jay Scott. Anybody else want to speak on this? Okay, Harold.
I would really like, or at least I feel that I have to reserve my vote on recommendation 18 until seeing the language on 19 and 21, because, as I say, I'm just very concerned that there has to be some formal role for an individual's participation, and until that's spelled out, I don't feel that I can properly vote on recommendation 18.
Okay, I'll take those, and so you can take that off later when we get to those. I'm hoping the wording will suit you. And Jay Scott.
Well, I guess my deepest concern is not necessarily with any of the wording. It's really the fact that as I begin to look at this in a global fashion and focus on the forest rather than a particular tree, I am not seeing the Nantes Council recommendations necessarily recommending anything beyond the status quo. I mean, I think now it has been the position of the Nantes Council, either formally or informally, that other stakeholders should be able to form, and that the groups that are already recognized should continue to participate, and that there should be a country code, top-level domain name supporting organization, and that the independent review, so except for the ombudsman and some exploration of mission, I don't see much innovation here. I see basically a support for the status quo with maybe a tweak here or there.
Charles, can I get into you?
You have an email. Yes, I don't think that necessarily needs to be a concern. I mean, when we're talking about questions of who should be at the table, it strikes me as no surprise if we're looking at evolving organizations that the who remains broadly the same, with perhaps some additions. If we're talking about the what do they discuss and how do they discuss it, that may be where things change, and that I think actually is where a lot of the problems have lain. So I'm not.
That's a fair response, and I appreciate that. It is reasonable, and I see your point.
Yeah, Bruce Tompkin, if I could be in the queue. Just
okay. I had Marley, I think, just before you. Bruce?
I wanted actually to respond to Jay Scott just a bit on that. I think that most of what needs to be fixed that I can is that we actually fix the existing processes. Even if we started over, it's always tempting to think about starting over, but if we haven't fixed the processes and stabilized them and strengthened them with staff support, we will merely be taking those same problems into the next generation of ICANN. And I'm inclined to think that when we finish this process that we have to get down to what may be the more difficult discussion between all of us, which is how do we give above parochial interest that we represent and focus on the good of the whole, and how do we create a structure and process that enables that.
Thank you, Marilyn. Again, fair answer.
Bruce?
Yeah, I just wanted to add some things that the registrar's constituency has put forward in its internal document, and that is there is support amongst the registrars for the ICANN board to appoint additional members to the policy council, separate to the constituency representatives. So that's one approach that we support in the Stuart Lynn paper, because we think that allows the board to appoint some additional expertise. The other thing that the registrars have, which is actually, I think, just reiterated what Marilyn said, is that we have a statement that says that the members of the policy council should act in the best interests of the stakeholders of ICANN as a whole and bring forward input and perspectives from their group with the aim of reaching agreement. And what we're really getting at there is it's pointless if we've just got each party bringing their own points and not preparing to move from those points. It has to be taking into account everybody's input and acting in the best interest of the stakeholders as a whole.
Sure, that's very important. On the first point, on nomination committee and their role, that's part also of the ICANN discussion paper, which we're going to come on to later. So, useful at that point to factor in your.
We don't believe the status quo should remain. We think there is need for some change.
Okay. Noted. Good. So with those comments and changes, are we happy to adopt recommendation 18 and move on to 19?
Obviously, you've already noted the registry constituency is not support 18.
That would be a clear footnote, yeah. Okay. That seems to be fine. On 19, other stakeholders, the only change I'm suggesting to make there follows from a comment from Thomas, and this also goes in the direction that Harold was saying earlier, and I propose that we add after the first two words, other stakeholders, comma, such as individual domain name holders, comma, and then it reads as is, which is could be added subject to the requirements of the Names Council criteria for establishing new constituencies. And there's a reference to where those are. Who would like to speak on recommendation 19?
I would, this is Harold, I'd like to speak to recommendation 19.
Harold, anyone else? Not for the moment? Okay, Harold, go ahead.
I would support this recommendation and language, and then also support recommendation 18, provided that this is the avenue by which we could actually have individuals who are forming a constituency subject to the appropriate criterion recognized by the Names Council.
Well, I think that's exactly the intent.
So, Harold, are you proposing to add that language?
Well, no, I was asking Philip for clarification, and
the Names Council policy for new constituencies is that anybody can form them, and then here's a certain set of criteria in terms of forming them, and I think the implication is that once a constituency has met those criteria, then indeed the Names Council will recognize it. I think that's implicit in the creation of those criteria. Other comments on 19?
Bruce. I just wanted to raise one of the comments again that's come out of some of the recent ICANN papers, as they talk about the concept of permanent forums and temporary forums, and what we're talking about here would be classed under their system as a permanent forum, which is a new forum is created or new constituency is created under that set of criteria.
Yeah.
They also talk about the role of a new group forming temporarily on a particular issue. I think that instead of your last sentence there, the idea of fora with only an advisory role is rejected. I think a more positive way of dealing with that is to say that temporary groups may be included as part of the task force and committee process as opposed to being actually on the policy council itself. I could see that if you had a particular task force, let's say it was to look at international domain names, there may be a group of people that have got specific expertise in there that form a group, and they say that they would like to have a representative on the task force, and I would support that as an approach.
Okay, that's an interesting idea. Does anybody else think that sounds like a sensible way forward?
I'm sorry, could you repeat that? He was coming in and out.
Okay, Bruce, could you say it again and speak...
Okay. In one of the ICANN papers that's recently published on their website, they distinguish between a permanent constituency and a temporary constituency. What I'm suggesting is that the wording we have in the first sentence is what I would say is equivalent to our permanent constituency. In other words, a new constituency can form according to the Names Council criteria, and that's something that would obviously be long term, it lasts for years, whereas a temporary constituency might form around a particular issue, and that we could recognise that temporary constituency as a member of one of the task forces or committees we create around a specific issue.
But it would not have an advisory role, or
I would say that last sentence I would strike, and I would replace it with a new sentence that talks about stakeholders may form fora, and that they may be included within a task force or committee process.
Well, can I speak to this? It's along these same lines.
Yeah, go ahead, man.
I had mentioned once before, and I want to raise the question again, that because I hadn't dwelt on it, we have not identified the role of the GA. And for those who were involved, now it seems many years ago, in helping to establish a GA, I believe we envisioned that the GA would be a place where issues could be heard cross-constituency and groups of this nature could come together and work in sort of an issue forum, but without taking on a permanent constitution or a permanent structure and being both informational resources and sources for additional input. I would support the idea of including a discussion about a reconstituted or restructured GA where issue fora of the nature, Bruce, that you just identified could be hosted, because I do believe that some kind of support may still be needed, and a path should be provided for how the input comes back into whatever the councils are.
Okay, well, let me make a proposal. I think actually we're raising a number of issues that cross with other things. I also had later, in fact, a new proposal on General Assembly and a change recommendation 21 on public consultation, which this may all be about. What I suggest we do for recommendation 19 is delete the last sentence, but we'll address this issue when we discuss those others. That may be a better place to make this point, because then we can be more explicit on what we mean and how we want to involve that. And it will also come after the recommendation where we talk about the types of working groups we have, so there's a certain logic there as well. So if that's agreeable, we'll strike that and take the point later. That was the end of that speaking cue. Is everybody happy then with recommendation 19 as we worded with the last sentence taken out?
Could you give us a new text of recommendation?
Certainly. Recommendation 19 now reads, other stakeholders, such as individual domain name holders, could be added subject to the requirements of the Names Council criteria for establishing new DNSO constituencies as set out in the NC Rules of Procedure at dnso.org. That's how that would read. Is everybody happy with that? Excellent. I'm presuming silence means, yep. Let's move on then to recommendation 20, and this is on structure. The current wording is the stakeholders in the GTLD policy development body should elect representatives to a council or similar body. Now in the email, Thomas has suggested that perhaps making that more explicit in terms of numbers might be useful, and what we could add there is a second sentence saying something like three representatives per stakeholder constituency is optimal. Who would like to speak on recommendation 20? No,
Philip, this is Ken.
Could you read it again? Sorry.
Yeah, well, I was just going to ask the same thing. Please read what
okay.
You're...
All right, so then the addition I'm proposing, do you want me to read the whole thing or just the addition?
The whole thing, it's not that
okay.
long.
Recommendation 20. The stakeholders in the GTLD policy development body should elect representatives to a council or similar body. Full stop. Three representatives per stakeholder stroke constituency is optimal.
You added those words,
didn't you? Who would like to speak on this?
I'd like to speak on it, though.
Marilyn, anyone else?
Ken Stubbs.
Ken, anyone else? Marilyn.
I'm not sure that the recommendation of three representatives per body is optimal is until we address the structure of the council or the body in more detail. I'm not sure that I can say that three is optimal. Three has some advantages because it gives the opportunity to ensure some geographic diversity for almost all of these groups. Not only geographic diversity, but other kinds of diversity are very important. But this seems a little premature until we talk further about the composition of a board. If we, for instance, ended up with nine constituencies instead of seven, we would have a council of 27. And what I'm trying to understand is right now we're talking about the replacement to the DNSO, right?
Right.
So I'm happy enough to leave it there, but I think we need to really think through the layers of organizational structure and what the goals are that we're trying to achieve by maintaining it at three. If it's geographic diversity and other kinds of diversity, then that's helpful to note. But we could find ourselves with a council of 27, 31 people.
Okay, well, we could make a proviso there, so something like three representatives per constituency is optimal based on the recommended minimum constituencies or something, which allows us to revise it in the way you suggest if necessary. Yeah, would that be a better phrasing?
I think we need to hear a little more discussion from others.
Yeah.
Okay. Can you enlist?
Yeah, without sounding cynical, I don't know whether I'm ready for Son of Names Council or not yet. The sequel.
Daughter can.
And I think from a practical standpoint, we're really not in a position right now until we get a better handle on exactly what the structure of this new council will be to recommend a specific number. I would feel much more comfortable if we tried to place some guidelines for selecting the representatives to this body, which would include, of course, geographical diversity and so forth. But rather, I don't think we need to put a hard number or any number on it at this point in time.
Okay. I'm happy to strike out a recommendation based on the conversation we've had so far. Who else would like to speak?
Philip, I have a question.
Yeah.
I guess if someone could help me on this. If we support this, and in light of the other recommendations we have supported, it appears to me that we're really not talking about the son of the Names Council or the daughter of the Names Council. We're talking about the clone of the Names Council. I just want to make sure I understand where the recommendations are now heading, because if I read them and taken in total, essentially what they say is everything is fine and we should continue pretty much as is. I don't see anything in the recommendations that suggests much different than what we are doing, but this is really not, this is intended to be a question, because if I'm missing the major improvements or alterations that the council is recommending, I'd like somebody to tell me where they are.
Well,
could I get in queue up?
Tony, yes, I'll put you in queue. The response I'll make is that these recommendations are based on the Names Council conversation last time around. If I missed substantive recommendations in terms of improvement of process, etc., please let me know, and I'd be happy to...
I wasn't saying anything was missed. I was just sort of saying if we're back to now, each constituency gets three, we're back to the same Names Council we had before, with each constituency getting three seats, and I guess we'll all just be back here again in the same way we were before.
I couldn't say that, Roger, because I haven't received the results of the DNA test from the lab yet.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe it is the son or daughter of the Names Council, but it looks a lot like the clone. But please, somebody answer. If that would help me, it would be helpful.
Philip, I want to speak to this because I think I made the point earlier. I think that recommendation 20 actually needs to be expanded beyond structure and be sort of structure, function, and process. And then it makes sense to me to leave the first sentence there and to go on to the two subcategories of function and process, which are really where we probably need to go to address the question that both Ken raised and that Roger raised of what will be different.
Philip, can I enter in the queue?
Indeed, I also had Tony Harris just before you.
Is it my turn?
Yep, it is, yep.
Okay, I just wanted to ask Roger if you read the ISPCP comments on the reform initiative, because yes, the ISPCP does support. I don't know if I would call it a clone of the Names Council or DNSO, but certainly the concepts which are based on the white paper, we support them.
Okay, Tony, that's an important point. I think one of the things we're trying to do here is to indeed lay down some.
Thank you, Tony. That's very clear.
Yeah. Laurence.
Pumpkin says like the other key.
And that was Bruce to draw on the queue after Laurence.
It will be very short. I just wanted to state that I agree with the comments made by Ken. I don't think it's necessary now to try to decide how many representatives will be in the Names Council. And furthermore, we have the tendency to to repeat what the current situation, and it seems that we would even in reality prefer a statu quo for the moment. So, well, I would say that for the moment it's not necessary to have any details on the number of participants in the NEMS Council per constituency, and before that, if we want to speak about a possible council or a similar body, we should see how this council, like for the board in reality, how this council can really be efficient in practice and really discuss then about its structure.
Sure.
So I would leave the sentence like that.
Okay, thank you. And Bruce, you're next.
Yeah, look, I just wanted to reiterate the concerns that Roger raised, because I think that's my view and the registrar's view as well, that the criticism people have of the Names Council at the moment, and I've heard Stuart make this criticism, is that the Names Council can't put any meaningful input into this ICANN reform process because it's part of the problem, and the Names Council just ends up as a result saying, yes, we think we're fine as we are, go away. And I don't think that's acceptable to anybody. And I think we should really be striving to point out what's different from the current process, not what's the same.
I'm totally on board with that that concept, Bruce. But I think what we're trying to do in this paper is also just lay down certain principles upon which we will base any differences, and we then need to agree upon those differences. So I don't
The problem is we haven't actually identified any differences yet.
Okay.
It seems to me that we're repeating where we are now.
We're open to ideas as well as the call for ideas.
Can I speak to that, Tony Harris?
Tony, go ahead.
Yes, I'd just like to say, Bruce, that when we say we prefer a model which continues along the lines of the current DNSO, it is not true to say that this doesn't change anything, because the ISPCP has stated that we support the creation of supporting organizations for the CCTRDs and the at-large. I think that is where the changes come in. And although it's not the subject of this particular item on the discussion, we would simply restate the fact that, in our opinion, the main problem of the ICANN is funding and not throwing everything out of the window and doing it again. Because if you do that and you still don't have funding in place, you're back to square one.
And, Philip, can I speak to that for the BC as well?
Aaron, if you can.
Okay, put Ken Stubbs in the queue, please.
And Ken as well.
The BC has a fairly well-documented position on the fact that we believe that significant structural support should be given to improve the process. And we do think that that would be a significant change. We also agree with the ISPCP, and I believe the IPC has spoken on this as well, but I leave it to them, that funding, stabilization of funding is a key step, but that we do think that significant changes can be made in improving the processes by providing structural support in the form of neutral staff.
Okay, and indeed that is already the basis of Names Council recommendation number 11. Ken, you're next.
Just a couple of comments. First of all, with respect to whether we call it a Names Council, whether we call them policy councils, I guess I would like to hope that we would be able to create council, some sort of entity that has bodies within the entity that have common interests, and at that point in time they can develop some consensus and take it out to the next level, where other entities that may be affected by these policies can get involved in the process. But we tend too often to try to create policy in councils that are comprised of various and differently affected entities, and the evaluation and resolution of these issues is an incredibly difficult process to manage, and as a result, too often we just come out with no results at all. And rarely do we get definitive enough. So I think the concept of having groups with common interests developing policy, then bringing out this proposed policy to groups that are affected by the policy, seemed to me to make a lot more sense. So I'm just kind of throwing out the concept there.
Okay, no, that's a very interesting proposal, and perhaps something we can factor into recommendation 22 when we get onto that, and we talk about
groups which could be of different sizes and composition. It may be part of that, but I think indeed that sounds an interesting idea. So can I propose then that we take recommendation 20 as currently worded in version 9. In fact, that's to read the stakeholders in the GTLD policy development body should elect representatives to a council or similar body. And we're being silent on exact numbers and anything else at the moment. Is everyone happy with that? Yep, I'll take silence as we are. Recommendation 21 is on public consultation, and I propose to move that to the end when we can talk about General Assembly and this point about fora, which brings us straight on to recommendation 22 that I just referred to. We're talking about working practice, and there I heard try to capture the idea we discussed last time, where we're saying that the idea of the sort of task forces the DNSO has had in the past is not a bad one, but can we spice them up a little in a way, and can we think perhaps of introducing outside expertise where that may be worth having, and therefore such groups could well vary in size and composition depending on the issue. And those groups would make recommendations to the council or similar body of the GTLD policy development body. So I think that wording in general I think should capture some of Ken's earlier statement, which I think sounded interesting, that you might indeed set up a suppliers group, come up with a recommendation, then come back to the main body. No reason why that shouldn't be done.
Absolutely.
And this would be a change away from the insistence that every task force has to be as balanced as the main council, which may not always be appropriate depending on the issue. So anyway, comments on recommendation 22 as currently worded.
Philip, it's Marilyn.
Marilyn, anyone else?
Harold.
Bruce Clinton.
Harold and Bruce, anyone else?
Ellen.
Ellen, anyone else? Then Marilyn.
I think this has got some merit. I would suggest, though, the way I heard you describe this is, when you say specialist, I think your point would be that there could be narrow issue specific or sectorally specific working groups that would work by themselves without input during their process from a broad group of representatives. That's what I wanted to understand, if that was your suggestion.
I was suggesting the groups would have specialization and expertise where that would be useful for their work.
I think I would feel more comfortable, Philip, if we also suggested that, if appropriate, outside expertise or specialist consultation could be sought. And I think that helps to address, there may be situations, and I think the International Domain Name Task Force is a good example of where really the participation very strongly needed. It was that work was done at the board level instead of at the DNSO level, because we needed to have outside expertise from the PSO, the ASO, a technical specialist. And I think that might be something to just look at and say, if needed, we could invite in outside experts would be a good addition to this. I'm reluctant to have special interest working in devising or drafting policy without a feedback loop that's pretty constant into the group, because I think people can go pretty far with their expectations and come in with a completely drafted product with no input from the user community, for instance, or the non-commercial players. I have some reluctance toward that.
Okay. Howard, you're next.
Yeah, I share Marilyn's concern, and my own thought is I'm very sympathetic to the idea of expert committees getting together to do sort of an initial draft. What I would recommend actually is that there be some sort of process of not just reporting out to the named council generally, but
consultation with the individual constituencies, because it seems to me that the process really benefits at multiple stages when there's a draft policy of asking the individual constituencies how you think this will affect them. And people can, when their own self-interest is involved or just from a different point of view, will perceive things that are just that the drafters just don't even think of. And so I think there should be some sort of consultation earlier on. It doesn't have to be representation in the task force, which has been one of the stumbling blocks, but make sure there's some formalized consultation process that is in the feedback loop at a fairly early stage.
Sure. Bruce.
Yeah, look, I think I agree with aspects there that Harold just presented. But to my mind, we need to have more flexibility at the working group level than we do at the policy council level. And that means that I don't think a working group necessarily has to have a representative from every constituency in terms of actually developing the initial policy. And what we're finding, because the names council processes are so slow, people are going around them. So ICANN, as previously mentioned by Marilyn, formed a separate group to look at international domain names. ICANN's formed another specialist group to look at some implementation issues with a deletes redemption period. And these are all things that they're saying, well, there's no point giving this to the Names Council, it'll be too slow, nothing will ever come out of it, we'll end up with some generalist document full of principles rather than any detail. And I'd say that that's something we do need to reform, and one way of reforming that is to have specialist working groups where people can participate without necessarily having to be elected or appointed by a particular constituency. In fact, it may even be a process where people, as I mentioned before, could nominate to be on a task force.
I think we need to be clear about what... I make a good point, Bruce. To my mind, we need to be clear about what problem we're trying to solve, because one of the reasons, I think, for slow progress on a task force is actually lack of staff and secretarial support. And in my day job, I work in a trade association. We have a committee structure who take decisions on things. But I'm doing all the work behind the scenes in terms of drafting recommendations, talking to committee members, getting to agree things, so that the actual meetings of the committee are decision-taking affairs, and an idea for the next set of decisions rather than the statutory work itself. And I think that's where we've, to my mind, had the main problem in ICANN, in that the burden of work has fallen on volunteers, all of who've got other day jobs to do. So I think a lot of that functionality problem can be solved by what we've said already in terms of staff support. You then have the question of balance of representation. And we're hearing earlier that general feeling that some sort of expert groups could work. The question then, of course, comes when you say that groups don't necessarily need to be representational in terms of every constituency in them. That begs the question, then, would you exclude constituencies from participating if they wanted to be part of that?
I would say no, you wouldn't. But actually picking up the point that Harold made is that... what we're talking about is actually drafting a substantial document. And you're right, it's two things. It's one, having staff support to do that, and it's also having a core of two or three drafters, if you like. We do this in the registrar's constituency, particular issues.
We
ask the volunteers, and two or three people stick their hands up, and they do real drafting work. And then they bring it back to the constituency as a whole to comment on it. So what I'm saying is that you could have a specialist group with people that are doing real drafting work, sure, with staff support, but then it goes to the Names Council as a whole, where all the other constituencies then provide their input, and then perhaps goes back to another draft.
Okay, that's interesting. Ellen?
I'm comfortable with Marilyn's wording as well. I'm a little bit concerned. I just want to make sure, from what I understood, that just before this is that, the policy would come back to the policy group from the specialist, but it wouldn't necessarily bind the Names Council. Everybody could still decide what to do with the information that they got. It seems to me to parallel what the IPC put forward on the board level of what we call the import-export model, and I think it works well.
Okay. So let's just see if we're changing any wording here. What we're probably doing, Marilyn, you wanted to clarify that we're talking about outside expertise where appropriate, didn't you?
Yes, right.
Now, perhaps the best thing to do there, then, would be to take the first sentence, the details of your policy development body should operate by establishing small specialist working groups, full stop, and deleting the rest, and then adding after the second sentence, these working groups, similar to the existing DNSO task forces, may vary in size and composition depending on the issue and could include outside expertise. Full stop. They would make recommendation to the council or similar body of the GTLD policy development body.
And is this the place that we should reference that we are maintaining the press approach to decision-making, the vote of two-thirds?
That would be a...
Because we haven't addressed that, I don't believe.
No, I mean, I think that's an issue we need to talk about in its own right, this idea of consensus and a majority vote policies and what that actually means, and indeed the contracted implications of same. So I think that's something that we should indeed address, but perhaps not right here, but I'll note it for... future, along with other suggestions we've had so far.
So this is Harold.
We're just and Bruce Tonkin is me in the queue.
Harold and Bruce, anyone else? Okay, Harold.
My one language that you just read is I would like to insert a sentence that prior to submitting the recommendation to the names council, the task force will consult with each constituency.
Oh, good. Good.
So you would have the task forces consulting with whom in the constituencies and how?
Well, I don't have a good on that level of detail. It may simply be to ask the representatives to the Ames Council to bring it back to the constituency, and you know it can be done simultaneously. But my concern is that the process of consultation with the constituencies for their individualized constituency input should take place, and that feedback given to the task force before the task force makes a recommendation to the Names Council, and this will move things along and refine the draft in a much better way than if the task force goes off and drafts and, you know, consults in a very informal fashion somehow of its own choosing and then brings something to the Names Council, and then the individuals on this new Names Council will have to you know, send back these huge comments and be presented with this.
Okay, so what you're saying is there's no point in having a body working away in isolation on an idea that 90% of the Names Council finds daft.
Right.
You want them to have checked things out along the road.
Exactly.
Philip, this is Ken. Would you put me in the queue, please?
I will indeed, Ken. Let me. I'm just thinking of some wording that we could, that I think would satisfy Harold's point, which sounds very pragmatic, which would be the last sentence to read. They would consult with the stakeholders / constituencies and make recommendations to the council or similar body, etc. I had Bruce, I think, in the queue first, and then Ken.
Yeah, I was going to actually make a very similar comment to Harold. I think the wording I would suggest is that... What was your first wording, Harold? I thought I liked what you initially suggested.
I think I said that before the final sentence, a sentence be added that the task forces will consult with the individual constituencies, something like that.
Yeah, I would suggest you make that the task forces, before making final recommendations to the council, the task forces will seek input from the from each of the constituencies.
Final recommendations. Okay, so the way that we're sitting here is before making final recommendations, the working group would consult with constituencies and then make recommendation to the council or similar body, as Carty phrased. That sounds fine. Ken, you were last in the queue.
Yeah, 3+ years of experience with ICANN in this process leads me to a conclusion that the only time anything gets done, how do I put it this way, efficiently and effectively is under deadlines with clear timelines. So I think we need to make sure that a strong emphasis be placed in any of these deliberative processes or consultative processes to a clearly defined timeline. As a matter of fact, I think it would at some point in time be behoove us all to revisit the concept of if we're going to use task forces in the future, developing a specific structure for ensuring that this work just doesn't drag out forever. And I'll use as an example, not because a good example would possibly be, for instance, the transfers task force, which is now running real close to its 1 year. And I just think with deadlines and timelines, we probably can accomplish more. And I'm very concerned about the consultative side there. We have to have timelines on this consultative.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah, what the registrars had, Ken, in their paper was that there should be a maximum of 120 days between when an issue is sent to the... That's the key issue for registrars, and I just want to reinforce what Ken has said, is the time it takes to resolve things.
It's not fair to anyone. I think we all know this. It's not fair to affected parties, be they individuals, or it's not fair to providers, it's not fair to users, it's just not fair to anyone when this gets dragged out like this.
Well, guys, I'm going to speak on this as the person who is knee-deep in two of these task forces, along with Tony and others. The addition of staff, I will say that the addition of staff who can do new drafting can significantly improve the consultation process. And I think we need to have timelines and guidelines on consultation and timelines, et cetera, but we also need to build in flexibility if things change. But getting the drafting done and not spending all the time of the task force on organizing itself first will be a good way to speed the process forward.
Okay. So, Charles, I'd like to add something on that.
Yes, how quickly?
Quickly, I do want to clarify that the consultation does that consultation. When it's not, you know, the consensus building and the formal vote of the council, and the idea is to try to get a lot of the input that slows things down in the task force drafting stage moved out to where it can be part of a broader debate, and then, you know, the people who are the experts who are the task force do a draft which will take into account these different consultation streams, and the Names Council would make the decision. So my hope is that this will speed up the current processes considerably.
Yep. Okay, thanks for that. Let me suggest the following wording then based on that discussion. The GTLD policy development body should operate by establishing small specialist working groups with realistic timelines, full stop. These working groups may vary in size and composition depending on the issue and could include outside expertise, full stop. The working groups would consult with constituencies and then make final recommendations to the council or similar body of the GTLD policy development body. With that revised wording, is everybody happy with recommendation 22? I'm hearing silence, so I'll presume yes, I will make those changes. Thank you for that. 23, this was an idea picked up also at the last meeting, that we thought that in these bodies, wouldn't it be good to involve a member of the board so that there is engagement in the process, there's buy-in to what each of these issues is doing. And recommendation 23 is currently reading, to ensure board-level engagement in the policy development process, one board member should be a non-voting member of each such working group. Is there anyone who would like to speak to that?
I will.
Carolyn.
I'm not sure you guys know what you're asking for. I think that enabling board members to participate, it's a very strange thing to do, and I'm a little confused by the purpose of it. The board members don't even routinely attend the constituency meetings. Some do, some don't. That would be a first place to start. Having a board member as a silent observer doing the work, I'm not sure that that adds anything, and I certainly am not inclined to add them in as a voting member. They have their own work to do. I'm not sure it's why we're doing this. If we have a staff liaison, you know, so I'm open to being educated on the value it brings.
Okay, I can't remember who proposed it during the meeting before, but I think the idea was that one of the problems with ICANN now is the board asks the DNSO to do something, we go ahead and take a long process to come up with a decision, and the board is sort of sitting there with its arms folded, waiting for us to come back with a recommendation which they either take on board or find some reason not to. And this was a way of saying, you know, look, we're all in the same game. Let's have, for each issue, essentially a board champion who would understand the thinking and the debate that's going on, so that when it comes back to the board, they would be in a position to say, this is a recommendation, this is why. They would have gone through the process of understanding the debate so that they could answer those questions to the board, and it just brings the policy development side and the decision-making side closer together. I think that was the thoughts we had last time round. Does anybody else want to speak to that, though? Perhaps others who had raised the idea.
Bruce,
and somebody else?
Jay Scott. Yeah,
Tony Harris.
Harold Sell.
Scott and Tony Harris and Harold. Anybody else? Okay, that's Bruce.
I guess, again, just picking up on some of the questions that the recent ICANN papers have raised, and one of the questions they've asked is, how do you differentiate the role of a voting member on a body from a non-voting member on a body? I guess my view of that is that the non-voting member isn't an active member. It's more or less an observer. You know, the body might ask questions of the observer, but the observer is really just acting as the liaison rather than as an active participant. So I sort of support the concept. I think there is need for better linkages between the board and the groups. The use of a non-voting member, maybe we could change that to something like should be a non-voting liaison rather than using the word member, because it's really what we're talking about is we want a liaison. We're not looking at asking a board member to get active and start drafting stuff.
Okay, Discord.
I think that this recommendation is a variation of my original recommendation, which was that the board have identified roles it plays in managing the policy development process. And I certainly did not mean by my recommendation that our recommendation should be they should be non-voting either liaisons or members of working groups. I think that they should, or a group of them should be assigned the DNSO, someone assigned the PSO, and someone assigned the ASO, and then they should, or whatever matriculations of those policy development bodies or organizations or constituencies or whatever you want to call them, become that they are assigned to liaise with those groups based on the issues and sort of keep the board informed of the process. whether that means that they decide to participate as a non-voting liaison of a particular working group, so be it. But that they sort of monitor the process that's going on within those organizations so that they can, at the board level, have a better understanding of the process and that they can help guide the board through that process when this is then the ultimate policy recommendation is presented to the board.
Okay, so, you, so you'll effectively assign a board member to each of the policy development bodies, not specifically to the groups within those policy development bodies.
Right, and not necessarily one board member. If we have 15 board members,
you could have a couple, yeah, whatever. Yeah.
That's right, and I would, you know, that way, all I wanted to do was, I felt like by having some buy-in from the board into the process or understanding of the process in managing this process, in no way an influential management where they direct the policy development in such a fashion they begin to steer the ship. They are just mainly there to guide and the board in understanding how the policy was developed, more than just reading some dry report. They could have someone that could then answer questions. That was sort of a neutral observer of the process.
Yeah,
yeah, I agree with that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I think that sounds like a good, friendly amendment. I have Tony Harris.
Yes, I just wanted to echo Dave Scott's comments. It was basically what I wanted to say. I think the working groups have to provide their conclusions to the council. What would today be the Names Council, for example? And if board members go to the Names Council meetings, or perhaps they could participate as observers in any teleconference call which debates these issues, that would serve the purpose without them having to participate in the actual working group.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. Harold, you're last in the queue.
I share many of the concerns of J. Scott, particularly the extent to which having a formal role for board members in the formulation of policy at this level really invites the board to more actively drive the process. And in many ways, I think that it perhaps should lie with the board to determine how the board should be more informed of the processes that are going on here. They are going to be much more cognizant of their workload, and I would I think really sort of change this to invite that the board suggest a mechanism. I know they've come to us to ask for advice. I really think this is how they want to stay informed about what we're doing should really be their call rather than our call.
Sure, I answer that point, but I think indeed we are making recommendations as opposed to anything more dictatorial. Let me suggest a possible rewording then for recommendation 23. To ensure board level engagement in the policy development process, one or more board members should be assigned as a liaison to each policy development body. Is everyone happy with that wording for recommendation 23? I'll take that as a yes, thank you. Recommendation 24, this is extremist. Now, this was based on our discussion where we felt that there are always going to be those things which come up for which a decision really has to be done for a good reason, a technical or commercial imperative, and that having a process to allow that to happen would be a useful thing. We already had in recommendation 10 the way that the board may choose to overturn a recommendation based on a supermajority, and recommendation 24 is intended to capture this idea of an interim decision. In his earlier email, Thomas had made, I thought, quite a sensible recommendation to say that it wouldn't be a bad idea to define interim, because interim in other areas has a habit of becoming a decade or so, and he had suggested a maximum of 6 months. So I would propose Recommendation 24 reads as follows. Ordinarily, all policy development should be via the policy development bodies and subject to Recommendation 10 in terms of obligation on the board. In extremis, when externalities dictate, the board should be able to adopt an interim policy, also by two-thirds majority, for a maximum six-month period, pending a final policy developed through the policy development bodies. Who would like to speak on Recommendation 24? Nobody? Is everybody happy with Recommendation 24?
Philip, when you say when externalities dictate, the board should... So there could be a comma after dictate, maybe, right? Maybe that solves my
question. In extremis, when externalities dictate, comma, yes.
Okay.
I'm happy for a friendly comma to be added.
Philippe, it's Florence. I have a naive question. Do we have, you have more experience, obviously, so do we have in the past experienced the situation of externalities and dictating the board to act and to provide an interim policy? Is there some...
That's a good question. I'm starting to think of a precise example, but I think what has happened in the past is that we've been asked to do something, and because we've come out of time, a decision has been taken anyway. I think what this tries to do is to say, well, that's not a very good process. Let's formalize that possibility. But perhaps others have a thought of. Or another example. Is that Meriden's?
Yeah, let me offer maybe a slight amendment to this. When externalities dictate, what the BC has said is that the board should be able to direct the staff to draft a fast-track document and proceed on a fast-track to develop a process. Redemption might be an example of where the board and the staff were getting so many complaints that the staff drafted the redemption paper, which is now being reviewed. But I think here what we're saying is the board could get together and actually adopt an interim policy without any...
What's the difference between the staff ask, the board asks the staff to draft a paper...
And
what happens to that paper?
I think the paper would still be referred to the policy bodies, but on an expedited schedule.
Ah, okay. So you're saying that if it's really an important issue,
time critical, something happens.
Time critical issue, then the board directs its staff to make a recommendation. And tests out the recommendation with the policy development body, mm-hmm. rather than expects the policy development body to do all the work. Is
mm-hmm.
that it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
It's an interesting alternative. Other people to speak.
This is Jay Scott.
Jay Scott. Jane
Harris.
Jane Harris. Anyone else? Then Jay Scott.
I would support Maryland's fast track. Amendments to this particular recommendation only because advising clients who have to make business decisions based on policies promulgated by ICANN or any of a numerous policy bodies within different governments and regulations, it is very difficult for businesses to make policy based on interim policies that could in fact change,
mm-hmm.
Disappear. Sometimes that requires infrastructure and large investment. And so I think that it would, and we know that, I think I'm correct in my understanding, that contractually the GTLDs at least would be required to comply with the policy. And I think taking in those business realities means that it would be a much better process to say, we're just going to quicken the process where a final binding policy is done, rather than saying we're going to interim policy that could disappear or significantly changed at the end of the day, that could possibly obviate the need for any business investment that you have already made in order to come into compliance with the interim policy.
Sure.
And I think we need to be very cautious of that reality in this particular recommendation.
Okay. Tony Harris.
Yes, just on the subject of commas. The final phrase says pending a final policy, comma, developed through the policy development bodies. Do we need a comma after policy?
No, you don't, but I might be taking out a trunk of that in a second anyway. But that's
okay. Just a
thought. Thanks. What I propose, based on that last discussion, is to change the second sentence as follows. In extremis, when externalities dictate, comma, the board should be able to direct ICANN staff to draft a policy for fast-track consideration by the policy development bodies. Does that capture everything that we've spoken about?
Should we define what time period of fast-track should be, like 90 days?
Oh, I think it may have to be even faster than that.
60 days. It is just that, a recommendation, but I think we should at least give them...
For a 60-day fast track, for instance.
So, guys, I think if it's an emergency, do we really think 60 days is...
How about saying not to exceed 60? In those
okay.
Days,
but,
not
yeah,
to exceed
yeah.
60 days. So that way it could be a week, it could
mm-hmm.
be 60 days.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Fast track consideration not to exceed. Yeah. Okay, with that amendment then, which now reads, in extremis, when externalities dictate, the board should be able to direct ICANN staff to draft a policy for fast track consideration not to exceed 60 days by the policy development bodies. Everybody happy with recommendation 24 as amended? I'll take that as a yes, thank you. So we have our last recommendation 21, which we move to the end, and also a potential recommendation on General Assembly. And here we may want to say something about fora. I'm conscious we have about 5 minutes left, but let's see if we can perhaps... at least get a flavour of where you want to go, if not be able to agree on final wording. What I have drafted for this is to try to distinguish between involving genuine stakeholders who may want to get involved in the process, in which case we think they should self-organise and be part of the process, making the General Assembly a genuine assembly of all those stakeholders, and having, in addition, an effective means of public consultation on proposed policies, whereby those individuals and parties who are not part of the stakeholders ordinarily can participate. And so based on that, I've got the next two sets of draft phrasing, which is as follows. General Assembly. The GTLD Policy Development Body should have a General Assembly whose prime role is to provide a forum for broad interconstituency exchange. Consequently, membership should be limited to the agreed stakeholders who are represented in the Policy Development Body. And then the following recommendation on public consultation is as follows. There should be public consultation on proposed new policy within strict time limits. Such consultation should serve as a channel by which individuals and parties not fitting into the stakeholder constituency scheme participate in policy making. So that's a slight change of version 9, recommendation 21, to mirror the earlier phrasing of General Assembly, and there I was picking up some of the phrasing suggested by Thomas Rossler. Who would like to speak on those two points?
Bruce Tuckin.
There we have Bruce. Who else?
Elizabeth.
Anybody else?
Harold.
Harold. Anyone else? Okay, let's start with Bruce.
It's, I guess, partly a question. When we're talking about recommendation 19, and there was the area there of forums of self-declared stakeholders and a way of them providing input. Where do you see that occurring in the current structure? Are we saying that that's something that we incorporate in recommendation 22 about
the working groups, or you're saying that we create a mechanism for them to participate in the General Assembly? I'm just really trying to seek clarification, because I don't want to lose that concept.
Sure, no, I think you're right. We need to factor that in. I think that would probably fit into the second part. It's part of public consultation, so those would be those fora would be fora who are specifically consulted, if you like, on a as a sort of a push consultation rather than a pull, you know, putting up on a website or something. Would be my view of that.
I think I'll just explain that. But I mean, the public consultation at the moment, as I see it, occurs via ICANN put something up on a website, and then they have an open area where people can write into. And generally, what happens is that ends up being full of noise.
Yeah.
It probably doesn't actually have much value.
Exactly.
So I can see why people. I think we need a forum where people have serious input that they can somehow do it. I'm just wrongly asking.
Yeah,
how you
exactly. What I think you hear is that then if a forum set itself up, and when there was public consultation, they are specifically contacted and their input is requested, and that is factored into the public consultation, which would be my vision, I guess, of how that
Okay. So can you suggest some words that incorporate what you just said?
Yeah, let me think about that while we take some of their voices. Elizabeth was next.
Yes, thank you very much, Philip. Actually, you started to explain a little bit more what do you understand by public consultation? Because I believe that if we do not define clearly what we mean, we will have frustration later on. So what public consultation means and what should be the size of this public consultation and the time for this public consultation. And I've been just thinking about democracy, the country we are living in, and in countries we have from time to time popular votes, which is something very heavy, logistically speaking, and electronic vote, it is also very heavy, logistically speaking, and it is also this is always something very collective, time consuming. If we don't put precise definition of public consultation, we may suggest to the ICANN participant today that it will be something much bigger than what is foreseen here.
Okay. Howard, next.
Yes. I agree about public consultation needing to be defined, and I am sympathetic to the concern that this ends up being a lot of noise. But number one, the noise is often very instructive. While 1,000 people posting as a result of a Slashdot article posting comments like "this sucks" and "you guys don't know what you're doing" may not seem terribly useful in one hand, it is an important data, and it's important to have this avenue that if you have a number of people in the general public who are actually willing to comment in on this highly obscure matter and tell you they think you're off your nut, it is not a data that should be as lightly discarded as I often think that it is by ICANN, just because these are not sophisticated people who are able to give detailed inputs. That said, I think that it is, you know, appropriate to have that kind of a broader public consultation when you're nearing, you know, the end, rather than the more targeted consultations where you expect detailed responses that are at the beginning of the policy formulation.
All right. And Marilyn, you're last in the queue.
I agree with with the two points that we've made. I think we need to try to define what the purpose of the consultation is, and I guess I'm not as enthused about, there are a lot of people who post to this group who do post the kinds of, you know, like, you guys are stupid, you have your head in the sky, various, that is a non-useful, non-substantive, it might represent angst or noise, but it's a non-substantive clog to trying to get to more useful comments. And I think we really need to define as well what the purpose of the public comment is, because just getting the kind of noise that we get sometimes isn't useful at all, and it drives away people who might be able to make a more thoughtful or substantive contribution.
Okay. So what I've got so far then is amendments to the second part of public consultation. There should be public consultation on proposed new policy within strict time limits. We may want to try to define that, perhaps something like not to exceed 30 days. Then such consultation should serve as a channel by which individuals and parties not fitting into the stakeholders' constituency scheme participate in policy making. Four of self-declared groups of interested parties should be specifically requested for input during such consultation. That's picking up the point about four we had earlier that Bruce suggested. Any comments on that rewording? No?
Philippe?
Yes, Elizabeth?
I'm sorry, I'm not sure because it is a very difficult comment. When we speak about the policy development for GTLD, it is something which is transnational, so it is something which needs also to be inclusive, enough inclusive to people which are not necessarily present every day on one or two mailing lists, and I must say that I agree with Harald that the noise is not necessary wrong. The noise is the place where sometimes information arrives. This public consultation, it requests probably staff, and it requests special effort. Shall we add something in your wording, something specific related to the fact that public consultation is always costly, but it is also something very fundamental because it is education for everybody?
We could add what you're saying is to lay down a watch out that public consultation should be budgeted for.
I'm sorry. To never forget that public consultation means you need resources. It is
right.
Not something you. It is not something without cost.
Oh, okay. And we could probably add something like the necessary financial and human resources need to be made available. After that point, Ken, is it?
I'm concerned about pontificating on an issue like that, principally because I would guess that in most fora when it comes to policy development, including I'm suggesting in many cases even in the CCTLDs, I don't necessarily believe that public consultation process is always utilized. I think if we had a process like that, it's going to have to be very clearly defined. People tend to create value out of these processes when, in effect, many times these consultation areas are nothing but dumping grounds for other personal issues that people have. And frankly, it tends to pollute, number one, and number two, it minimizes the value of the issue that is actually being carried out there. So if we're going to have consultation on issues, then I think it's going to have to be, and I hate to use the term filtered because it doesn't come across very clear sometimes, but I mean, if we're talking about domain name transfer issues, for instance, I don't want to see the consultation area being used as an advocacy for alternate routes or something like that. That's what I'm talking about.
Sure. That's a very good point. Then how about this suggested word, which might cater that point? There should be focused public consultation on proposed new policy within strict time limits, not to exceed 30 days. Such consultation should serve as a channel by which individuals and parties not fitting into the stakeholders' constituency scheme participate in policy making. Four self-declared groups of interested parties should be a specific should be specifically requested for input during such consultation. The necessary financial and human resources need to be made available for such consultation. With that wording, is everyone happy with the recommendations, or those last two recommendations?
This is Harold Feld tonight.
Harold.
My concern is on the 30-day time limit. I recognize everybody wants to move these processes forward quickly, and that public consultation should not serve as a stumbling block, but I just really want to emphasize the importance of public consultation to the legitimacy of decision making and to the value that is extracted from it. I know that there are a number of people here who seem to indicate, who seem to believe that it's a nuisance and that everybody should be involved is here. But there really are problems of people find out about this at the last stage, significant stakeholders who simply do not have the resources to monitor these things as they move forward. I really would hate to have a resolution which supports cutting short the public consultation process if it looks like there's real value that is coming out of it.
Okay. It may be consultation might need to vary perhaps from issue to issue, depending on the breadth of consultation necessary. We could perhaps change the phrasing to typically not to exceed 30 days, which may allow for the flexibility you're seeking.
If there's an insistence that there must be some reference to a time limit, then I could live with that. But I just
I think a limit is important. I mean, particularly as we've just talked about. One of the problems of the whole system that we're not necessarily producing results in time, and we're trying to solve that in different slices. At 5:10, Council, can I take it that you're happy with the wording of those last two recommendations now as amended? In which case, I would draft them up. Thank you for that. The call will need to end in a couple of minutes. Unfortunately, we didn't have time to address the working paper on structure and nominating committee concept. I propose we take that as our first agenda item on our next call, in which case we may be able to factor into those discussions also the suggestions for function and process that were raised when we're talking about recommendation 20, which is the nature of the stakeholders in the policy development body, and that will probably fill our time thoroughly. There is another working paper out, of course, on the committee also on ICANN's mission, but I think probably discussion on this second paper on structure nominating the committee would be more useful. So if there's no other business, of course, if there is. No, then thank you very much. We'll call that a day. And we will have our next call in a couple of weeks, I guess. Glenn, do you remember the date offhand?
I don't have the date offhand.
We've got the 29th of May, I think.
It's the
29th, yeah. 29th of May at the same time. And I've also got a little note against that about wait list. So maybe we've got an extra agenda item to look at there. Was that, Marilyn, was that...
Yes.
On waitlist, that was your deadline, was it, to
yes.
produce something? Okay, then we'll probably have to address that first. So anything in advance by email would be terribly useful. Council, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.